Today is Thursday, August the 4th, 2016. We're here with Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Maasai, Matos Maasai, and Tisha B'Av.
Not exactly, mostly about the 3 weeks, but there'll be a quick reference to Matos Maasai.
Ladies, gentlemen, welcome to this wonderful class given over by Rabbi Soloveitchik. Before we start, I just want to say a few things. To take your phones immediately and either shut them down or take the ringer and shut it off. Please do not interfere the class with your phones. That's for me as well. So I want to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos and a good Shabbos before the class ends. In case you don't know it, we're milkhead tonight. Lasagna is delicious. If you haven't had any, it's better than the last time we had it.
And you can even eat it after sunset.
That's correct. It's good.
Got to remember next Thursday is milkhead salsa.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Really.
Yeah.
Next Thursday is milkhead also. Just so you know. I just want to take a minute and thank Young Israel for their generosity, allowing us to have these wonderful classes here in the community. And I'd like to thank those people who are involved in helping me set up the class. Set up the tables and everything that's present when I walk in, and then all those that help me and would like to help me bring in the food. And just so happens my wife picked up the food today. Thanks, Lynn, wherever you are.
Oh, there
you go. I do it every week. Lynn picked up the food today. We're going to be davening Maariv about three minutes or so. Right after class, and hope you guys enjoy it.
Okay. This week's sedra is a double sedra, Matos Maasai. Now, we have very often double sedras, but this, you know, depending on how many Shabbosim in the year, we want to finish certain sedras before certain holidays. There's all kinds of factors that play a role. Now, and one of the factors is, I think, that at a certain point, but this year, because we had 8 days of Pesach, and Eretz Yisrael, they only had 7 days of Pesach. And the eighth day of Pesach, was Shabbos. So in Eretz Yisrael, when we celebrated the eighth day of Pesach, they read Achrei Mos. They read Achrei Mos, and we read Achrei Mos the following week, but we didn't double any sedras, and since then until Matos Maasai, even though there were many sedras that could have been combined, could have been combined that we should, in fact, the next week we could have said Achrei Mos Kedoshim, because Achrei Mos and Kedoshim sometimes are combined. So why is it for such an extended period of time Since Pesach, we were on one cycle, and the people in Eretz Yisrael were on another cycle. And this is a question that was raised already by the Maharit. So the question is a double question, really. One question is, why didn't we do it right away? And the second question, because there are so many sedras that we could have done it, why did we wait so long? So even if we didn't do it achrei mos goshim, and there is a reason for it, why do we? We could have done it. We could have done it in Chukas Balak. Why did we wait till Matos Masai to come together with the people in Eretz Yisrael? Now, as far as the first couple weeks, and there were a couple sedras that we could have, I mentioned already, we had Achrei Mos Goshen that we could do it, we had Behar, Bechukosai that we could have done it. So why is it that initially we didn't do it right away? I think there's a very, very simple answer for that. And the simple answer for it is that the Rambam asks a certain question. It's a very famous Rambam. The Rambam asks, why is it that we observe Shavuos 2 days? Why is Shavuos observed 2 days? Pesach, we understand why we have to observe 2 days. In other words, why do we have to observe Pesach 2 days? Because in those days, they didn't have telephones. They didn't have telegraph. They didn't have any way of letting the Jews in diaspora know which day was the first day of the month. So how did they let the Jews know? They would send out messengers. Messengers would go out to inform the Jews as to which day was the day of the month that was proclaimed as Rosh Chodesh. So we didn't know which was the first day of the month. Let's say Pesach is always the 15th of the month. So the Jews in diaspora didn't know which day was Pesach. However, by the time Pesach was over, or by the time Nisan was over, you have to understand the Jewish communities in those days did not live in the United States. They lived more or less in the Middle East. So within a month's time, everybody knew which day was Rosh Chodesh. Now Shavuos, halachically, is not on a specific day of the calendar. It's on 50 days from the second day of Pesach. We count Sfira. It's 50 days from the second day of Pesach. So we don't, in order to know which day is Shavuos, we don't have to know which day of the month it is. We just have to know, count 50 days from the second day of Passover. So why do we have to observe 2 days of Shavuos? In other words, because all the Jews, by the time Shavuos came, everybody knew what day was Shavuos. So the Rambam, and the reason we do today, even though today we know, is because that's what our ancestors did. The Gemara says, Shema Yachzor Hadavu LeKukulo. Maybe the situation will return, whatever. But whatever it is, we do it because they did it. So the question is, so what the Rambam asked, why by Shavuos were the 2 days? Sukkos, we understand why there was 2 days. Because by the time the 15th of Tishrei came, people did not yet know which day was Rosh Hashanah. You understand? And which day was Rosh Chodesh? And when it comes to
to Sukkot. So when it comes to Pesach, by the time the 15th of Nisan came, there were many communities that did not know which day was Rosh Chodesh, was the first of the month. If you don't know which day is the first of the month, you don't know which day is the 15th of the month. Because the proclaiming of the first of the month was based on the sighting of the new moon. And it had to be testimony of the Beis Din, of the court in Israel. In other words, if two people saw the new moon, they would come to the court in Israel and say, we saw the new moon, and then the court would proclaim that day as the first of the month. So the Rambam says, the reason why Shavuos, we observe 2 days, is Shelo Tachlok B'Moados. In other words, in order not to make a difference between one holiday and the other. In other words, since Pesach and Sukkot, we observe 2 days, so Shavuos also we observe 2 days, even though it wasn't necessary. But Shelo Tachlok B'Moados. I think what that is saying is that even though we know which day, by the time Shavuos comes, we know which day was proclaimed as Pesach, but Shelo Tachlok B'Moados, we have to act as if we didn't know which day was Pesach. And since we have to act as if we didn't know which day is Pesach, so therefore we couldn't. We don't know which, since we don't know which day is Pesach. So because of that, we don't put the two sedras together, because the idea of putting the two sedras together is to be on the same page as the Jews of Eretz Yisrael. Okay, that explains Til Shavuos. But the problem is, we have a lot of sedras after Shavuos that could have been put together. Now, for example, we have Chukas and Bolach. Chukas and Bolach we have. So why do we wait? Why do we wait till this sedra? Why do we wait till Matos Masai to put two sedras together? Especially since Matos Masai is larger than Chukas and Bolach together, huh? So why do we do it? Okay, I think now, in order to explain it, I want to discuss a certain Rambam that I have discussed before. And the Rambam talks, when he talks about fast days, he talks the answer is the Gemara says they didn't send out messengers every month. They only sent out messengers when it was absolutely necessary. Let's say for Iyar, they would send out because of the Pesach Sheni, the second Passover Karban. They sent out for Av, for the month of Av, they sent out because of Tisha B'Av, that the Jews should know when to fast on Tisha B'Av. So they sent out the month of Av. So I think that, in a sense, the putting of the two sedras together lets us know which day was the first day of Pesach. And in a sense, it lets us know that this is the month of Av. So in other words, the custom of putting the two sedras together, in a sense, is like the messengers coming out and telling us that this is the month of Av. So it was postponed till of, in order that we should know, in order to be reminiscent of the fact that the messengers went out enough to tell the Jews which day was Rosh Chodesh, so the Jews should know which day which day to fast. Now, but I want to explain this from a different perspective. The Rambam mentions that there are two types of fast days. There are fast days that are anniversaries of calamities that overtook the Jewish people. Four such fast days. I mean, there's more, obviously. I'm not talking about Yom Kippur now, and I'm not talking about Tainis Esther. They stand, each has its own reason. But there's fast days that commemorate the calamities that overtook the Jewish people. And the calamities that overtook the Jewish people were, let's say, Shavasa Batamas, when they broke through the walls of Yerushalayim. Or they entered Yerushalayim, because that was the second base of Mikdash. It wasn't so much, in the time of the second base of Mikdash, they didn't break through the walls, they entered Yerushalayim. In the Asara B'Teves, that was when Yerushalayim became surrounded by the Babylonian army. Tzom Gedalia, that was when Gedalia was killed, and as a result of that, the Jews lost the last form of government that they had in Eretz Yisrael, because Gedalia was the Jewish governor for Babylonia. So, and as a result of his death, of his assassination, many Jews were killed. And of course, Tisha B'Av, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But then, there's another form of fasting. And that is when we are in danger. Let's say an enemy is attacking. Let's say there is pestilence. That pestilence that is going to destroy the crop. Let's say there is sickness, that people are dying from it. Those were fasts. They used to proclaim special fast days, begging God for mercy. And the Rambam, in describing these forms, these two forms of fast days, those that are on the anniversary or commemorate historical events, historical tragedies, and those that are as a result of a danger that exists right now. So the Rambam, he phrases it with similar words, but there are some differences. And I'm going to mention the words of the Rambam. The Rambam, at the beginning of Hilchos Tainis, He says that when there is a danger that called Sarvet Sara Shetovo Al Tzibor, so they used to blow the Chatzotzros, and he says they also instituted that we should fast, but he says Vizdover Ze Midarke Hatshuva. He says this is from the path of tshuva, the fact that they used to fast, the fact that they blew the chatzrosos, the trumpets, in the time of the Beis Hamikdash, and they cried b'yizaku aleha b'yariyu yadu haklol. So everybody knew shebeglal maseim haroim hura lehem kakosuv avanoseichem hitu v'zehu shiyogu. So it was because of the deeds because of our bad deeds, everybody realized it was because of our bad deeds that this took place, and the fasting and the crying out to God, this is midarke hatshuva. It's from the paths of tshuva. When the Rambam talks about the four fast days that commemorate tragedy. So then he says, Yesham Yomim Draday Shekol Yisrael Misanim Behem Mimnei Hatzoros She'iru Behem, because of the tzoros that happened on them. Kidei La'ora Halvavos, in order to inspire the hearts, Liftoach Darkei Tshuva, to open the path of Tshuva. This and that should be a reminder to us about our deeds that are like the deeds of our ancestors who in whose time these tragedies took place. Dvarim elu noshiv lehetiv shenema v'hispadus. So in other words, we have to remember these deeds. We have to remember our deeds. Look at our deeds and remember the deeds of our ancestors. And to know that it's the deeds of our ancestors and that's like our deeds that brought about the churban. And then the Rambam says also, he says, any generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, if the Beis HaMikdash had been in existence, the Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed. So in other words, when we fast Tisha B'Av, we fast Shavasa B'Tamas, it's not just to remember the deeds of our ancestors. We have to think of it, make an analogy, a comparison between our deeds and the deeds of our ancestors. And a matter of fact, it's very interesting. My uncle raises a very interesting question, but I think there's a very simple answer. It's based on a psak of my grandfather's. And I have used that to answer other questions. My grandfather felt, I'm not telling people what to do in terms of halacha l'maisa, but according to the way I did not hear this from my father in my grandfather's name, but I saw it in my uncle's shiurim, that my grandfather, because there was a custom not to shower during the 9 days. I'm not talking about Friday, and I'm not talking about for Shabbos, but there was a custom that some had not to shower during the 9 days. There, many say that today that people have it in like an istinus. In other words, if we don't shower, we get really, it affects us emotionally, psychologically, whatever it is. So under those conditions, they say you could shower. Okay, but my grandfather said something else. My grandfather said, he says, we have three types of avelus, mourning for the Beis HaMikdash. We have the 3 weeks. We have the 9 days. And we have Tisha B'Av. He says, what is the difference between the 3 weeks, the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av? He says, the 3 weeks, to a large degree, that's like the avelus, the mourning of a year. You know, it's when a person's parents die, so they are in mourning to a certain degree for a year's time. But the mourning of the year is more lenient than the mourning during the 30 days. The 9 days, my grandfather said, is similar to the mourning practices of the shloshim, 30 days, and Tisha B'Av is like Shiva. Tisha B'Av is like Shiva, and my uncle asked a question. He asked, why is it that when someone dies, so first we have Shiva, then we have the 30 days. And then we have the avelus, the mourning of a year. But when it comes when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash being destroyed, when we mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. So my uncle said that it's just the opposite. We start with the mourning of a year, the practices of the year. And then we go to the practices of the Shloshim, of the 30 days. And then, for one day, we go to the mourning of Shiva. In other words, the whole purpose is to, in a sense, identify the mourning over the Beis HaMikdash with the mourning we do for our closest relatives. A matter of fact, the law is that Erev Tisha B'Av, in the last meal, we do it all 9 days, but Erev Tisha B'Av, one is not allowed at the last meal to have basar v'yayin. You're not allowed to have meat and wine. And we do it all 9 days, of course, except for Shabbos. But so the question is, why not? Why don't you eat basar v'yayin? So some say the reason is because basar v'yayin was things that were poured on the altar. The meat was given on the altar, and wine was poured on the mizbeach, on the altar. And what are we mourning? We're mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. We're mourning the loss of giving the sacrifices. So because of that, we don't eat basar v'yayin. But others say, you know, because it's reminiscent of the laws. Is reminiscent of the laws of an onan. The halacha is that an onan is not allowed to eat meat and drink wine. Now, the problem is, one of the reasons given why is an onan not allowed to eat meat and drink wine? Because we're scared that will interfere with his being involved with the burial. Now, what does that have to do with Tisha B'Av? There's no burial. But the answer is, the whole purpose of these laws of mourning is to identify the mourning of the Beis HaMikdash with the mourning that we have on the close relatives, on parents. So whatever the reason is, in order to identify, since that's the halacha in what we do when a close relative dies, so we have to do it, even though the reason doesn't apply. We have to do it when it comes to Tisha B'Av also. That's what I think. So the question is, if that's the reason, so it should be in the opposite order. It should be in the opposite order. My uncle has a whole explanation of the difference between Avelus Yeshana and Avelus Chadasha, a new Avelus and an old Avelus. I want to suggest something, and not to disagree with my uncle, but just adding to it. The question is, what are we mourning? Are we mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash? Or are we mourning the cause of the loss of the Beis HaMikdash? What is the problem? If we're mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash, just the Beis HaMikdash, we became used to it already. We came used to it. We encounter difficult situations. But after a while, Vayihimi Machras, you know, in Parshas Korach. So the earth opened up, and Korach and all his followers were swallowed up, and the Jewish people ran away. And then Vayihimi Machras, it was the next day, Vayilonu Kolam al Moshe Aaron. All the Jews came to complain against Moshe and Aaron, say, Atem Hamitem Sam Hashem, you destroyed the nation of God.
Because that's the normal psychology. Normal psychology of people is, as time passes, the impact, it's something of the past. It's something of the past. We don't care anymore. So they ran away when the earth opened up and swallowed them. They were scared. The next day, Vayim and Machras. The next day, they come and scream at Moshe and Aaron. Korach was swallowed up because he rebelled. But that's the idea of Vayim and Machras. The next day. And when it comes to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, if all we're mourning is the loss of the bricks of the building of the Beis HaMikdash, unfortunately, the Jews get used to it. It's more than the loss. And I think this is the point the Rambam is making. The Rambam is saying that if any generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, the Beis HaMikdash would have been destroyed. We are not just mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. We are mourning what brought about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. We're mourning our sins. We're mourning what we became. And we're mourning what our ancestors became. And we became like them, or they became like us. I would suggest that in certain areas we're worse than that generation. There might be certain areas where we're stronger. It was the rabbi of the Rabbi Rich. He was my predecessor's predecessor. But I used to daven in the shul where I'm rabbi as a boy. I remember Rabbi Rich. He was a man that wasn't scared. He would say what he believed. In fact, I don't think he could have kept back from saying what he believed. So, but he once said, our sages say about the generation when Mashiach comes, the face of the generation will be like the face of dogs. Everybody has their own interpretation of that. Rabbi Rich once said, to say about our generation that the face of the generation is like the face of the dogs would be an insult to the dogs. So, what we're mourning is not just the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. We're mourning what brought about the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. We can't just mourn the stones. On the contrary, the Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took out his anger that might have gone against the Jewish people. He took out his anger on the stones and the bricks of the Beis HaMikdash. That's why Mincha time is a time of Nechama. Because in a sense, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that represents to us the idea that the Jewish people were saved. God took his anger out on the stones of the Beis HaMikdash. But what we have to mourn is what brought about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And I think that's why the Shana, in other words, if we would have had all the days of mourning, the mourning of the 3 weeks, which is the mourning of Shana, which is similar to the mourning of the year of Avelus, and the mourning of the 9 days, which is similar to the mourning of 30 days when someone dies. If we would have had that after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, so we would think that we would focus only that we're mourning the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. And it's not enough to loss. Of course, that was a great loss. But it's not enough to mourn the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. Then we would be mourning for something of the past. And we have to mourn for something of the present. And and that's the deeds, our deeds, which are like the deeds of our ancestors. To emphasize that point, I think the mourning is before Tisha B'Av, not after Tisha B'Av. So, but the problem is the way our minds work. We focus that the whole mourning is just on the Beis HaMikdash itself. And when we focus that it's just on the Beis HaMikdash itself, we begin, okay, we get used to it. And as time passes, we get used to it more and more and more. So, so because of that, because of that, there is a difference in expression. When an enemy is standing at the gate, when pestilence is in the field, when sickness is spreading among the population, everybody knows they're in trouble. Everybody knows they're in trouble. But when it comes to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, since we got used to it, we forgot that we're in trouble. We forgot that we're in trouble. We're used to it already. Vayhi Machras, it's the next day. So the purpose of the 3 weeks, the 9 days, is to let us know that we're in trouble. To let us know that we're in trouble. Just to remind us that we're in trouble. That's why by Tisha B'Av it's Liftolach Darkei Tshuva. It's to open the road of Tshuva. When the enemy's at the gate, that's not Liftolach Darkei Tshuva. That's not to open the gate of Tshuva. That's Midarkei Tshuva. That's to do Tshuva. We don't have to learn that we're in trouble. But when it comes to Tisha B'Av, so we have to realize that we are in trouble. And in a sense, I think the idea of having enduring the 9 days, putting the two sedras together, which is reminiscent of the shliach, the agent who went out to tell the Jewish people that which day was proclaimed as Rosh Chodesh, to let them know that this is the month of Av, just as the shliach went out at that time, that this is the month of Av. It's in a sense to remind us that we're in exile, because you know they used to say at a Pesach Seder, a lot of rabbis used to mention this story. At a Pesach Seder in New York in the 40s, whatever it is, they used to have this darim in the shuls, and they said, L'shana haba b'arad Yisrael, next year we'll be in the land of Israel. And the man stood up and says, I like it here. Sometimes we don't realize that we're in exile. And the shliach that came to tell them about Tisha B'Av, in other words, it reminds us that we're in exile. In Eretz Yisrael, they didn't need shlichim. So the agent who came to remind them, and the putting the two sedras together is reminiscent of the shliach who went to the Jews of Chutz Laaretz. It's to remind us that we are in exile. And it's Liftoach Darkei Tshuva, to open the doors of Tshuva.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. And your social person.
Ladies and gentlemen, please, just give me a second of your time. Just clean off your table.